This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. In some cultures, the body is celebrated. In some, it is the site of sin and sinfulness. In the Bible, Adam and Eve, in their innocence, didn't wear a stitch of clothing. But I quote, "They were not ashamed." But after eating the proverbial apple, their eyes opened and they realized that they were naked. And I quote again, "They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings." I love this tale. And it provides a wonderful segue to talking about the history of figurative drawing and its appeal. With me are two artists, Linda Liao and Jeremy Lee, who are here to share their insights into figurative drawings, and partly because they are part of a community that will go out into parks and into the
shopping malls
everywhere and get people to just draw other people. Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
To start, what is the definition of figurative drawing? Must it be about a person? Can we do figurative drawing of animals? It's still a figure.
No, I think figurative in fine art, it's more, it's definitely focused on the human forms. The other animals, I think, I feel it's just classified as animal painting. Don't confuse the human form with animal form, please.
But to some extent, I suppose, maybe you have to correct me here, drawing an animal and drawing a human being is the same, technically.
Yeah, in a way, yes. But the human has got
aesthetically more pleasing.
Yeah, and also they have more emotions, expressions, as well as the intellect of representing some kind of internal turmoil or, you know, just feelings through their bodies.
When you paint a person, when you draw a person, it is not just the form, it is also about an emotional connection to that form or to that person.
Oh, definitely. How do you feel, Jeremy?
Yeah, definitely. If you say comparing to an animal and to a human, I definitely will connect to human better in that sense. Yeah, the essence of humans, the feelings, is very complicated in a sense, but yet it's very interesting. And I believe that human, we are the highest, most intelligent of all beings. So we can't
sometimes
be animals. Yeah.
When did figurative drawing become this very important genre? Because based on my understanding, a lot of paintings are also mostly of landscape, of still life. When did figurative drawing somehow became so important that it formed a specific discipline in art schools?
I'm not graduated in art. I'm actually graduating IT, and I take this as a hobby. But 4 years back, I kind of decided that I wanted to do art, but not just painter as a painter, but I'm aspired to be an artist. And to be an artist, I know that to somewhat having a full-time job, I actually have to find a way to do a fine art discipline. In a fine art discipline, yeah, you start with all this 1 year of pencil, still life, all the boring stuff. But
boring?
Yes, it is.
I can see Linda's cringing already when you say it's boring.
Yeah, boring but very important. Yes, brought me to where I am now, from able to draw realistic to abstractions. So the fundamental is very important. Now, the things is that doing what is right and what I prefer. I'm going to answer the question why figurative is so important. It's a journey for me. It is a discovery. I didn't start to understand, like, believing in what internet say or anything that write up that it is important. But basically,
You had to discover for yourself.
Yeah. So I took up a sifu, that 1 hour per week lesson. But I interview him. We interview together. I say where I want to head in 2 years' time. And I want to do a fine art discipline, not just a painter, not the Tai Tai class where I follow, right?
Tai Tai class. Like that. You have upset a lot of people now.
I know. I want to protest already.
yeah. I even my friends, if they go to Tai Tai class, I'll stop them. I say, are you serious? If you're going for hobby, then fine. But if you're doing a serious fine art, no way.
Right? What for you, Jeremy, is the appeal of figurative drawing?
I try everything. If you've gone through my Facebook, I've done landscape. I do almost everything, right?
And you paint animals too.
Yeah, I paint animals too. People love
not
flowers.
Not figurative drawing.
People love... and unfortunately, whatever I paint, people buy, right?
But unfortunately.
If I go back to my home, I used to collect art. I suddenly realized that 99% of my art has figurative. I've been with Linda for 2 years. I came alone. I was a novice. I don't know how to sketch. You ask her. And from the latest one you've seen, I can do a realistic one. That's 2 years ago. I've never stopped coming except that when I'm travel. So I don't know. Maybe because deep down, really, I like human. I like figurative. As to why, again, perhaps because even as of now, you see my abstractions that I do a lot on expressions. I believe it's the emotional connection. If the model are comfortable, I do talk to them as well. Why? What's the motivation behind that they want to pose for us? It's basically the essence. It's very difficult to explain. I like people.
So it's not just about the form or the lines that are interesting or that the skirt with its folds. Those are not in themselves the things that are appealing.
Definitely not.
But I think it's part of it, it's the whole thing, right? Yeah.
Because I've seen figurative drawings where you have all these folds. Earliest works had Virgin Mary and her clothes are all in folds. And then you have a picture of Christ with his cloth. And the folds are painted in such a way that you can almost reach out and straighten them.
Okay.
So, I mean, I wonder how much of that is the appeal that, wow, the artist can create these things which are two-dimensional yet have the sense of 3D and without your IT technology. Yeah?
All right.
Yeah. For myself, I'm more looking into the emotions of each individual because... the body language, you know, speaks 90% or more of what we are thinking. So I really find it very intriguing and also inspiring to catch the emotions from the models, you know, when they expressing their feelings. And the models are coming from all kind of walk in the society also, you know. That's what we want, you know, to catch the contemporary imprints.
Jeremy said he interviews the models, he talks to them before he gets onto his canvas or paper. Do you do that yourself, Linda?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Interview and talk to them. And I always try to bring out their expressions in their body language of their internal feelings.
Internal world.
Yes.
But when you take a group of people, let's say, to KLCC Park, and you draw what's there... How do you capture that of people when you, I assume, you don't go up and say, can I talk to you first? And then you start drawing. You just see and draw or see and paint.
When I say I do that, I don't do it. It's kind of like offline. I may have not met the model, but when I start to get them, not to say closer, but if I have a chance, I just drop a casual question, why do you do it? It is part of my discipline of a fine art that any subject that we draw, in this case of a figurative, you have to understand the motivation behind. And more importantly, I'm trying to dig into the model. When you come and pose, what motivates you?
It's like standing in front of a camera. You know, a lot of us, we're quite casual about things, but when somebody points a camera at us, we go stiff. Our smiles are all kind of crooked or whatever it is. And you one look at it, you can tell, you know, this person is scared.
Right.
You know, or at least self-conscious.
Yeah. Mm.
But what about painting in the park?
Well, I did one in the park in... You also were there, right?
The painting the park that I think that was the event that
from Petronas.
Linda and the other artist Yeok Kang organized, and it was a traditional costume.
Were they posing for you? Or
yes.
Were they,
yes, they yes. were
oh,
posing.
You had people pose
yes.
for you.
Yes.
So at all times when you have your community come paint or draw, these
it's
are
all
people
about posing. Yeah.
Ah, so yes. It's not just like, okay, I'm going to go to the park, look, no, and then, okay, do a quick sketch and then quickly get
no,
to
no,
paint.
That's different altogether.
That's like an urban sketch or, you know, landscape sketch. So you, including the figures that is inside the picture.
Maybe you point out something that I like to clear. You were talking about the cloth, the realistic, the feel, the texture of the cloth. Now, in arts, there are two things, realistic, representational, and the non-representational. I personally started with realistic. I love realistic. I really enjoy it when I can draw, like you say, the cloth, the 3D fold, the lightings, the translucence, and so forth. Those are the classic way. I think, unfortunately, when I came to Linda classes, the poses is not like 3-hour pose. She gives slow motion, 1 minute, 2 minute, over the 2 years. Can you imagine that the model is really moving? And
You have to sketch fast.
Yeah, we have to sketch fast. And what came out of it was that I think I discovered something that I suddenly become... Okay, I don't want to say I'm a Picasso. Because given like 1 minute, you got no choice, but you just have to go fast. And essentially what really happened, that I was not capturing the physical form or the likeness, but still proportionate, but the essence of the gesture and the motions of how the model moves. And when I've been thrown into an assignment to sketch a dance move, I was able to do that. I wasn't looking at the form anymore. I was looking at the colors, the cloth, how, you know, the gracefulness of the dance. So in that essence, it's more about the movements and the gracefulness of the life figure. Yeah.
We've been talking about figurative art, and in a sense, because I'm Western educated,
yeah,
talking about periods in Western intellectual history, what kind of drawings, what kind of music... Traditionally, in Asia, what kind of figurative drawings do we have?
Well, looking in Chinese classic arts and poetry, right, and the Chinese paintings, they have figures, but, you know, it's very elegant, very small.
Very small.
It's like a decoration of the landscape, right?
Yeah, so, it's always about landscape.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, they never be the centerpiece of the artwork. It's not the center focus. So that's what I find, you know, in Chinese history. Until 1930s, you know, Qu Bei Hong, those people came back from Paris and then they introduced the figure eighties.
See, Western education.
Exactly.
I love Qu Bei Hong.
Yeah.
When I said Asian, actually I'm focused on talking about China,
Japan
Korea.
Korea.
Yeah. Not that the body is totally invisible, but for the most part, we don't see art with human beings celebrated. It's always the landscape or the fish or the bamboo or...
Yeah.
Why is that?
Yeah, I always wonder why people put more focus on the animals rather than themselves.
The landscape. Oh, yeah. In India, of course, you have all that celebration of the body.
Yeah,
right?
Yes. For centuries, even now, right? You know, you go to the temples, you go to anywhere in India, in some traditional celebrations, they have all these men, but in India, it's only men allowed to be celebrated in its completely natural form.
Which is true. When you look at any Chinese dance or Korean dance or Japanese dance, I'm talking about traditional, everybody's covered from head to toe.
Yeah, and I look at the Japanese dance, even the face, right? You don't see anything because they
it's
put
powdered.
So much on the face that you don't see any expressions. It's like a mask. I think this is coming from the Confucian. You know, the Confucian philosophy, that it's the foundation of China, Korean, and Japanese philosophies, right? Infiltrating into every kind of
aspect of our life.
Yeah, every aspect of our life. So, you know, to be moderate, to cover up, to have the face, you know. I found confusion is very demeaning to women also.
Okay, we won't go there. This is a show on art. But I want to talk about how difficult is it to draw the human form? Do we have to apply certain techniques that you do not normally apply to doing still life? I'm speaking with Linda Liao and Jeremy Lee, two artists. We are talking about figurative drawing, a little about its history, and in particular about how it's so absent in the traditional art of China, Japan, Korea. Coming up, we'll talk more about figurative drawing and where it's going to go, especially today. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. With me are two artists whose works cover different genres. However, both Linda Liao and Jeremy Lee are part of a community that reaches out not only to established and emerging artists, but also to the public, inviting hobbyists and others who are serious to attend drawing and painting sessions in diverse sites like KLCC Park, in the studio, in a mall like Publica. Now, we talked about Chinese and traditional arts. Somehow the body is not celebrated. You two are Chinese. Breaking Chinese traditions, are you?
No, I think we are part of the Chinese contemporary tradition now. The society has changed a lot, has moved a lot, you know. Like you look Korea, now they have theme parks of eroticism. In Busan and then in most of Chinese fine art schools in China, they have compulsory figurative drawings, you know. I'm not very familiar with Japan. And Jeremy has been to Europe recently, right?
To London.
Yeah, I'm sure from the Western tradition, there is always figurative drawing and you do it with live models and it's part, and often a compulsory part of art classes. I don't know how important it is over here in our own country. What is particularly difficult about drawing the human form? I would assume if you can draw a tree well or paint a tree well, I'm talking about technical aspects of it, drawing a human form is just the same. No?
No. I think, you know, first of all, everyone is different. The shape's different, the muscle, the skin, and the texture, and especially the emotions. So it's very technical, very difficult to catch the emotions on the paper, you know. That's the challenge. If you talk about just the physical presence, yes, you know, more or less we are almost the same, right? That's in a bigger picture. But you look into fine details, you know, that's what art is about, right? To have a fine details, each detail is representing certain aspects of the artist and their feelings. And that's difficult part, you know, to catch the details, to catch the emotions. I think that's the difference between life drawing and still life or landscape, you know. Because we're always expressing, we're always moving, right? And when you are synchronized with the model, you go like the river, you know, the human emotions flow. So you want to catch that river in its movement, it's very, very difficult.
So it's not just about the musculature, it's not just about the form or how you shape to make the muscles visible. It's about catching something beyond what the skin. Eyes see.
Yes, it's catching something beyond the skin.
I think if academically we start with that, and even technically for academy, how difficult it is, you actually have to understand the skeleton structure, the inner structure, the inner muscles, and in simplistic sense that to even draw a portrait of a child compared to a teenage and adult, the skull and the muscle are all very different.
The proportions are different also.
The proportion,
now, we are not talking about illustration here. We are not talking about drawing, right? We are also not talking about painting here, me and Linda. We are talking about fine art. Anybody can draw caricature. Anybody can sketch human. That's easy. Anybody can look at a photo and make exactly like a photo. But when we talk about fine art, we are going beyond the physical. We want to bring the soul out, the emotions, yeah? But first, before we can get there, obviously, we have to get the structure right. That is the technical difficulty. But the more abstract point of it is the essence of the human. And that is why, if you want to draw something, I must use photo. So easy. Why do we use live model? Basically, we want to see the life. Each time the model moves, it's a different composition altogether. Different spot he stands, different lighting source is different altogether. And each model comes with different background. Yeah, whatever their background, it could be a happy one, it could be an abusive one, it could be anything, and you can see it through naked. Yeah.
Sandhya, I'm seeing it quite differently. I've always thought about drawing of any kind is the aesthetics of seeing the balance of form, of light and shade, the different texture, but you are definitely talking about something which sometimes I think we might not appreciate when you say you're trying to capture an emotion on paper, and emotion is not drawable, if that's such a word.
It's drawable for in our practice, you know. In our sessions, every time we, at the end, we share the work, you know, we critique. I call it critique time. So everyone look at everyone's artwork and we give very constructive comments about what we see from our own and other people's artworks. And you can very clearly see those ones inspire the emotion of the model is clearly there. That's the best platform, actually. You know, we have the same setting and
same model.
Yeah, and the same movement, but everyone captured differently. Yeah, and some emphasize on the form, some emphasize on the expression, and also the expressions come in with the colors, and he's the expert in his abstract colors. Actually, that's what gets me into figurative art. It's so interesting, you know, the emotions. It's fascinating.
Where is figurative art going? Will it continue to be very much the same in the sense that we look at a person, we draw this person? I hate the word draw, you know.
Yes.
But for a lack of a better vocabulary on my part, you're trying to capture something. I'm not sure whether it's always even the person, or really you are capturing yourself in that person that you are painting. If 20 people paint or draw or capture this person in 20 different ways, something must be happening.
If you look at, not the both of us, if you look, generally what happened is that the art movement have moved into, from the real figurative, from the ancient time, we have moved into cubism, minimalism, abstractions, right?
Expressions.
And there's always a constant battle with this. And that is why the layman, or rather, for lack of a better term, the consumer, the collectors, or even your family member, when they say, can you draw? And when you start drawing something that is not like human, they say, you can't draw. Right?
That's what they said of Picasso.
Yeah.
So I think the fundamental question is that the awareness must be given to any person who wants to appreciate art. You start on the right platform. If it's realistic, right, then you look at the likeness. If it's not, we are talking about emotion, we are talking about abstractions. When you say it's difficult, I just finished a master class on abstraction and it got sold. That was my first abstraction. Finally, the collector actually said, I love this piece. My wife loved this piece. My daughter is so happy seeing it. And I tell you what, it's not really difficult because, I got a very good sifu. He did a mind map. You want to do a butterfly? He does a mind map. Butterfly, what is the essence of butterfly? It flies. It is light. It is short span. He said, now, let's not focus on the negative. Focus on the positive. Then he gone very philosophical. Say, butterfly flew above and looked down on the human who was sinful, but they are very happy. They are what? And with that in mind, when I did the abstraction, actually, I was not focusing on, I'm not supposed to focus on the physical form. I took the color of the Raja Brook, the green and the black. It flows around and it was overlooking the sky. And in the abstraction, if you see the layer of abstraction, there is, if you look closely enough, there is river bank. There is rock, or it could be on the cloud. It's up to the individual interpretation. If I ask you a question, how do you know what a bird is singing? When a bird is singing, how do you know?
I think it sings my song.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the next question is that you listen to instrumental music, orchestra, or classical music. How do you know what they're playing? But people enjoy, they nod their head, they get like almost very high. The answer to it, as in abstraction or life figure that we are moving into, is that you enjoy along with the melody. But you have your own memory, you have your own background. For instance, the bird may be singing some tune that is familiar to a very important part in your life. Therefore, life figure, the art that me and Linda is moving, is not just realistic. We want the viewer to interact. We want you to have your own emotion and connection to it, what that it speaks to you. Why is this family, they were so happy? That was my first piece. I wasn't even proud of it, right? And the daughter actually is only like 18. Say, Mom, I want this for my house when I get married. Wow, you see? So it's fantastic. I never knew I could do realistic the model, right? And believe me, that one that you saw is just done in red color. Red and green, two colors. And I don't need a lot of colors, but I brought the essence of the model. She's beautiful. And it's nothing, I would say, lack of better term, obscene in it, but it was very, very beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
So remember this. How do you know what the bird sing? How do you enjoy the whistling of the bird? It's the same thing, that how do you enjoy, be it abstractions or figurative. Now, coming back to your question, is that where are we now? We see the battle within the abstraction and the figurative, largely because it's realistic and abstractions. But we also see that through Linda work and my work, we also put in figurative plus abstractions. Picasso is one of them. Look at Picasso. People don't understand Picasso because they think he doesn't know how to draw. But you must understand where... Okay, one of the things that you need to know, fine art, I've been told, is not a low art. Doesn't mean fine art is high class or low art is low class. Low art is basically commercial art. You draw what customer, like your brochure, your T-shirt, you know. Some people like the feng shui. But we go to fine art, the artist talks. So Picasso talks. What Picasso says, I don't want to do realistic. I want to do 3D into 2D. I flip the year this side, I flip this side. One of the important things you realize that Transformer come from Picasso.
They
triangle,
make a lot of money.
Triangleism and everything is inspired.
Well, your Transformers are cubist.
Correct, cubism. You see? Even though I take it, initially take it as a hobby, I actually been told to do art history. Not in depth, but at least the evolution to appreciate the movement from caveman to impressionist to abstractions to abstraction. Abstraction was something very difficult, but I believe that last week I got the breakthrough. Right.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Linda, as part of this community, when you invite people, you are also inviting people who are just serious hobbyists, who want to do better, who want to learn, and who want to have the opportunity to be with a group of other artists.
Yes. Yeah.
What do you do? You invite them, and then what happens at the session?
Oh, they just been thrown into the battleground and, you know, survive.
Do you tell them what to do, or tell them as they are drawing? If I'm a hobbyist, but I'm serious about my art, not quite as serious as Jeremy, and I start drawing, there's some things that are technically not right, maybe. Can I say, you know, I'm having a hard time with this part. Yeah. Can you help me? Is that something that is provided also in your community?
Yes or not. We don't really give structured classes, you know, explanations. You do like what Jeremy say, you know, the bone, the muscle or the skin structures. No, we don't do that. But we criticize, we share, you know, by observing. You know, arts is a visual, right? So everything has come in from the visual. So we look at each other's art, we criticize. That's the way we teach each other. We don't give, like, a teacher and student boring rundown.
It's not a master class. It's not an instructional class.
No, it's a PhD class.
Yeah. So you are lifelong. Assumed to be it hobby. You just come in and enjoy.
Minuit Art Social call to artists to submit works. Actually, it's a call that goes to quite a few people. Minuit Init Art Social has extended a call to artists, auctioneers, to the public to collaborate and to run workshops, submit works, and eventually to participate in an exhibition. And this will happen in November and it will run till December, November 24th and run through December 10th. And at the end of this exhibition, the works will be auctioned off for a charity.
Yes, yes. We are still identifying the charity organization to come forward, maybe something to do with cancer. Because one of our artists, Miranda, she's from Australia, and she just recently discovered she had a second time breast cancer. And so she's under treatment. And yeah, so before we discovered that she was ill, and we were looking for a charity, so I think we were going to go for the charity that is going to help cancer patients in here. And what was the other one, sir?
Yeah, so that's the key one. After that, you will have this exhibition, but it's organized by Minuit Init Art Social.
Yes, Minuit Init Art Social is a very unique place and open space, and they do all kind of exhibitions for, innovative, upcoming artists. I really love their free artist running space, you know. It's really
a liberation
yes,
of art.
Yes, very little intellectual confinement, you know. It's really, for me, it's a liberation in a human, existence, fullest extent.
Also look for Live Drawing Community on Facebook, as it regularly organizes drawing sessions which are open to the public. And in such meetings, people who want to learn can also do so by rubbing shoulders with those who work on the craft full-time. It's not a class, it's just rubbing shoulders and talking and critiquing. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.